This is what you must take me to mean by the child of the good, which the good produces as its own analogue. In the world of thought, the good stands in just the same relation to thinking and the things which can be thought as the sun, in the world of sight, stands to seeing and the things which can be seen. What do you mean? He said. Please explain that a bit further. You know that when the eyes stop being directed at objects whose colours are in daylight and turn to those whose colours are lit by the lights of the night, they are dimmed and become virtually blind, as if there were no clear sight in them. They certainly do. Whereas, when they are directed at things whose colours have the light of the sun shining on them, they see distinctly. The same eyes now manifestly do have sight in them. Of course. You can look at the soul in the same way. When it focuses where truth and that which is shine forth, then it understands and knows what it sees and does appear to possess intelligence. But when it focuses on what is mingled with darkness, on what comes into being and is destroyed, then it resorts to opinion and is dimmed, as if its opinions swing first one way and then another. Now, by contrast, it resembles something with no understanding. None at all. You can say that this thing which gives the things which are known their truth, and from which the knower draws his ability to know, is the form or character of the good. Because it is the cause of knowledge and truth, think of it by all means as something known, but you will be right to regard it as different from, and still more beautiful than, knowledge and truth. Beautiful though both of these are. Just as in our example it is correct to think of light and vision as sun-like, but incorrect to think that they are the sun, in the same way here it is correct to think of knowledge and truth as good-like, but incorrect to think that either of them is the good. The good is something to be prized even more highly. "It's an incredible beauty you're talking about," he said. "If it is the cause of knowledge and truth, but itself surpasses them in beauty. And you, of all people, presumably, are not going to say that it is pleasure." "Be silent," I said. "Don't even mention the word no. Take a closer look at our comparison." "How do you want me to look at it?" "The sun gives to what is seen, I think you would say, not only its ability to be seen, but also birth, growth and sustenance, though it is not itself birth or generation." "Of course it isn't. For the things which are known, say not only that their being known comes from the good, but also that they get their existence and their being from it as well, though the good is not being, but something far surpassing being in rank and power." "Ye gods!" Glaucon exclaimed, making us all laugh. "What a miraculous transcendence!" "Don't blame me," I said. "You were the one who compelled me to tell you what I thought about the subject." "I was. And whatever you do, don't stop now. If nothing else, at least go through your comparison with the sun to make sure you haven't left anything out." "I've left all sorts of things out," I said. "Well, don't. Don't omit even the smallest detail." "I'm sure I shall omit something. Quite a lot, probably. All the same, as far as is possible on an occasion like this, I won't leave anything out on purpose." "No, don't," he said. "Very well. You must be aware, as we said, that there are these two things. One of them is ruler of the category and realm of what can be understood. The other is ruler of what can be seen, of the heavenly seen, I could say, only I don't want you to think I'm playing with words. Anyway, be that as it may, you accept that there are these two forms of things, the seen and the understood." "Yes, I do."